This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Rich Moreno.
And I'm Jasmine Crichton.
From Time Magazine comes the article, Eight Sad Truths About Women in Media. It's written by Charlotte Alter. The article talks not just about news media, but the world of film, too, the entertainment world. As far as news, though, political stories are mostly reported by men, opinion pieces mostly by men. Fewer women are in positions of power on screen, and there are fewer women working behind the scenes. It seems like for a number of years, the reverse has been true, trying to get more and more women into the industry. Are we surprised at all that things are backsliding?
No. In a nutshell, I think there's a number of reasons that probably come into play. Obviously, the media is not the most appealing industry to get into right now because of things that we all have talked about in the past in terms of newspapers cutting back, television, local stations cutting staff, network cutting staff. And so I think there's a bit of that that goes on. But I also think that a lot of the advances that were being made have sort of stalled out, largely because of economic reasons. When you're not expanding, you're not building your program up, and you're not hiring more people, you're not able to go out and expand the number of women, minorities, et cetera, underrepresented groups, at least historically underrepresented groups in that media. And so I can't say I'm surprised that this is happening. But I think it's too bad because I think you're right. We were moving, when I say we, the media, moving in a direction of being more representative, and now it looks like that's stalled.
Represented at least on air or on screen, but I still think in positions of power, those continue to be largely dominated by white males.
That's true.
In my experience, that's true. I think in the last 10 years, I've only had one female general manager. And I mean, I've worked at a couple different stations and have seen changeover at those stations before. I think you make a really good point about economics. I think because of the uncertainty out there, I think a lot of women may not be choosing that path. They may be going into PR. I don't think there's a lack of interest in journalism.
No.
I have quite a few women in my classes who are, striving to be journalists. And I think that there are plenty of very qualified women out there. I think they're going other places because of the, economic uncertainty. And also, the workload can be really really
well, that's also
big.
True.
Yeah. I mean, I've worked in the business and I'm not there anymore. I am a teacher now. I work at a university and teach this. And there are reasons for that. And some of it was economic and some of it was lifestyle. And it is more difficult to be a journalist and be a female and run a household and do those things. We're definitely not there for gender equality. And I do contribute a lot of that to the economics of our situation.
When you were doing behind the scenes work in television, Jasmine, did you find there were many other women who held similar jobs, or was that largely a male dominated area of producing TV newscasts?
Well, I've been on technical and producing, and I can say for sure on the technical side of things, I was the only female on one of our shifts. So in the evening side, I was the only woman, and the rest of everyone else was a male. And then as a producer, we were all female at my particular station, which was a smaller one in Ohio. Everyone was the news director was male, but the executive producer was a woman, and all of the line producers were women. So I didn't see really an issue there because there were plenty of women there producing and working behind the scenes. But when it came to the technical side of things, there definitely was a big difference between how many women work there versus men.
I think there was an effort by some newspaper companies addressing the newspaper side in the 1980s and 1990s to actually try to at least give opportunities to get rid of, at least move that glass ceiling a little bit. Gannett, which is the company that I worked for, was actually very progressive in terms of promoting women within the company. We had a female managing editor when I worked for a newspaper in Reno. She moved on up through the ranks, eventually became publisher of several of their properties, including the Indianapolis Star. Gannett was – there were some – I think McClatchy, I think the New York Times, the Chicago Tribune, there were efforts to try to do that. But again, I think the economics is such that if you're not hiring people, you're right. not advancing people. There's no there's nowhere to go. I do think that what's interesting is if you look at statistics, at least the ones I've seen, of gender in terms of journalism programs, it's majority women these days in most campuses. I know we're a little different here because we have a big sports journalism program, and as we can see in this report, sports journalism is probably
decreasing with women.
What is it, only 10%, something like that, or in sports journalism?
Yeah, I think it fell from maybe 17% to 10%. Sportscasters
but
for
women. But I think in general, if you look at journalism schools and programs across the country, it's a majority of them, more than 50% are female. Now, whether they're going into journalism as far as working at television stations, mm-hmm. Becoming producers, becoming editors at newspapers, et cetera, is another whole issue. But I think that the raw material is there. And whether they have opportunities is another whole question. And, of course, you brought up, Rich, a great point. On the other hand, at the very top, who owns these things? Mm-hmm. Again, it's still mostly white males that are in the boardroom that are still controlling, in charge of these companies. And there is a big consolidation that's going on again in newspapers right now. And, I don't see a lot of women's names mentioned in the financial reports of who is running Gannett today or who's running First Media or any of these, which is Gatehouse, any of these large major companies. So that still remains a problem.
Well, in 2014, we also lost two high-profile roles previously held by women. We had Diane Sawyer of ABC News and Jill Abramson of mm-hmm. the New York Times. So we saw those two women replaced, and replaced by who?
By men.
By yep. men.
Mm-hmm. So
now,
yeah.
in terms of Diane Sawyer, and I don't know exactly how old she is, but she was probably close to retirement age.
Not sure why she left, but there's a possibility. I don't know. I really think they ran the numbers between David Muir and her, and I think they went with David Muir because he could attract the younger audiences.
Yeah, something we talked about last week with the mm-hmm. changes on the ABC World News Tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's like 41 or something. So, I think you make a valid point that we are losing role models in these cases, and they're not being replaced. You can even look at in terms of entertainment, the sort of the whole news entertainment. Stephen Colbert has stepped down; was not replaced by a woman. Jon Stewart is stepping down, not replaced by a woman.
Right.
Any of these other programs, they're not really news, but they're certainly. Prominent
influential
role.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not seeing women put in those influential positions. So yeah, I think it has continued to be a problem. It's one that I think we all kind of hoped by now would be at least moving in a different direction, but instead it's like it's retrenching somehow.
Would have hoped by now that it wouldn't even be an issue.
Sure. So
I think it's going to take a very long time before we see some gender equality. I mean, we have to remember women have only even been allowed to vote for less than 100 years in this country. I think we have a long way to go still.
We have a short way to go to wrap things up for today. In fact, we are out of time, but our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.